Receive it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I will not be silent. I will worship you in spirit and in truth. Receive all of my worship. Receive our worship, Father. Be exalted, O God, in your people. Be God in all of your people. Help us to understand that which we now do is not an act or ritual that is born out of a mindless commitment, that this is intentional, that we truly worship you, and you are the focus of our worship. Lord, O God, at this day, as we say, blessed be your name, that's exactly what we mean. Receive our worship, Father. Receive our adoration. God, you who inhabits the praise of your people, inhabit our praise and our worship. Teach us what worship is all about. Help us to understand it. So, Lord, oh God, that every time we worship you, every time we praise you, that we are very focused and intentional. You are the object of our worship. We glorify you, Father. Receive all of our worship. We will not let anyone else do it for us. Oh, magnificent Father, be exalted, O God, in our worship. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. Possess of our souls, possess us completely. Thank you, Father, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Hallelujah. Yes, my worship. Hallelujah. We give our God pure, undefiled, uncorrupted worship. The Lord said that Father seeks those that will worship in spirit and in truth. May the God who seeks those who worship in spirit and in truth find us. May that which he needs to find as expressions of worship be expressed in us and through us. Blessed be the name of the living God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. It's good to see you back tonight. We will. Thank you so very much for that. That's such a powerful worship song. You may be seated. I count it a great privilege to be able to stand before God's people and to share the Word of God. We were looking at Psalm 34 as our key passage, and we went from there to other places and kept on coming back to Psalm 34. As we discussed the subject of the fear of God and understanding it, one of the things that we settled from the Word of God, and everything needs to be started and finished from the Word of God, not the opinions of men, is that the Word of God tells us that the fear of God is something that needed to be taught. If you need to teach it, then you need to learn it. And if you need to learn it, then it is not something that is really inherent. It's not in there. And the question then that we must ask ourselves is, why isn't it in there? It should be something that is automatic, this fear of God. Why did God make it that way? Because while God wants you and I to fear Him, it was not something that needed to be there because God did not create man sinful. God created man perfect and therefore did not need to have a fear. He just needed to know that he is one with God. Amen? But since sin came into the picture, it was necessary then to learn fear. But not fear in terms of I am afraid, but fear in respecting and honoring who God is. And in learning about who God is, the knowledge, the understanding, the insight and wisdom of God, we begin to find out that the fear of God is an understanding of us. Let me say that again. The fear of God becomes an understanding of us. Because everything that has to do with the fear of God really has to do with us. So when we're talking about the fear of God, we're talking about God saying to us, listen, you don't know what you are. You need to learn about who you are because I created you in my image and likeness. And the first thing I want you to make certain that you take control of is your tongue. Because you are going to create all kinds of issues for yourself if you don't learn the fact that as God, I who created you, put inside of you the capacity to create things with your mouth. You understand that so much? Okay. So when we're talking about the fear of God, what we're really coming up to is understanding more about, okay, if I have a fear of God, I need to understand what God is saying and why He's saying it. Because the reason He's saying it is because of something he has put inside of me, and he does not want me to commit spiritual suicide. He doesn't want me to destroy me. Amen? So when you don't have the fear of God, you become self-destructive. People who do not have the fear of God destroy themselves. And God says, come, let me teach you the fear of God. Don't go learn it from your fellow man and their precepts and their thinking, because they don't have a clue what this fear of God is all about. If you want to know the fear of God, know me. Tap into me. So Psalm 34 verse 11 says, Psalm 34, come ye children, my children, come. Hearken unto me, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, if an 18-wheeler truck is parked, you respect the fact that it is parked and it's a big unit. You can touch it. You can wipe it. You can climb into it. You can toot-toot. But if that 18-wheeler is coming down the highway at 90 clicks, don't be a smart aleck and go stand in front of it, because you will know what an 18-wheeler can do when it hits you. So you respect the power that's in there. Amen? You may tame a lion or a leopard, but you got to respect that lion, and don't become so familiar that you start acting crazy around it, because it can turn around. It's a wild animal. It can turn around, and before you know it, you are headless. Hello? God is God. And God loves you. And God is altogether good. Hello? But don't mess around with God and act like, well, it's just God. And that's the attitude many times we take. It's just God. Forget it. I'll come. And he says, I'm a jealous God. Don't treat me like number two. Because the very moment you treat me like number two, I will show you that I'm number one. When we don't have a reverence for God, we put God down. But you see, the God that you put aside is a God that you cannot believe in when you are in trouble. And put it another way. A God that you can rob is not a God that you can trust to get you out of trouble, because you relayed him and you robbed him. Anybody listening? I hope you are. The way you handle God, the way you see God in your life, is going to determine how you work with God to address the issues of life that face you and I on a daily basis. You honor God. You reverence God. You have a fear and an honor for God. And when you face the enemy, that same awe that you have for him is the same awe that you will show to the enemy and say, this God is too big for you to mess around with. Take a hike. Hallelujah. But if you have belittled God and you face a problem, you run away from your problem because you think your problem is bigger than the God, because this God you belittled. Are we together so far? And the more you belittle God, the more you belittle yourself. Sharing the word of God years back, I said in a message, if you believe that your husband is stupid, then you're the stupid person who married the stupid person. Hello? It only makes sense. You must not be very smart to marry the stupid guy, and vice versa. This foolish woman. Then you're the foolish man that married the foolish woman. Because if you are wise, you wouldn't have married the foolish woman. And the God that you bring down determines how you see yourself. If you think your God is a grasshopper, you will see yourself as a grasshopper. Praise the Lord. So how do you see your God? David saw his God as greater. And he said to Goliath, you are going to be just like the bear and the lion I took care of. The God who gave me that lion and gave me that bear and I defeated them, you are going to be like one of those. When you see God great and mighty in you, you see him as great and mighty in you because you see that he is great and mighty. You get the point? If you think of God as helpless, you are helpless. If you see God as great, you are great. Why? Because God lives inside of you. If you honor God, you honor yourself. A man that does not honor God has no honor for himself. If you think there is no God, guess what? You end up thinking, there is no me. When I die, that's it. I am just dust, or I am some monkey that went through an evolutionary process. And when I finish, I will die and I will become nothing. But when you know that there is a God who is eternal, then you know also that you have what? Eternal life. Are you with me? If you think your God is a cow, then you are expecting to someday become a cow. Holy cow. Is the pastor what you're getting at? I'm saying when we're talking about the fear of God, we're talking about God, but we're also talking about how we see ourselves. Come, let me teach you the fear of the Lord. Verse 12. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days? Loveth many days. And loveth many days. Loves many days. that he may see good in those many days. Who is it? Then this is what you got to do. Keep thy tongue from evil. Keep your tongue from speaking evil. Well, they got me angry, so I said what? Then you don't love. Verse 12. Take me back. Then you don't desire life, and you don't love many days. And you don't want to see good in those days. So you mean you're going to allow somebody to get you so angry that you hate yourself? That you don't want to live long? That you don't want to see good in your days because now you are speaking all kinds of gobbledygook nonsense out of your mouth, and now you are spewing out evil, and whatever it is you say comes back to you. It's a loop, a complete loop. What goes around comes around. If you don't want junk inside of you, don't let junk out. Well, if you only knew what he did to me, I don't know what he did, but ask yourself this question. Do you hate yourself that much that this guy spat on your face and you are busy licking it? Is it gross? Oh, yeah. You are taking their mess and rubbing it on yourself because you're angry. And by the way, why are you so angry? It must be that you're angry because you agree with them. The guy says you're a fool and you are angry about it. You agree with it because if I called you fool, if I called you fool, and you responded, then you think and believe that you are a fool. You're so all wound up. Somebody came and called you a prostitute. Who are you calling a prostitute? Are you a prostitute? So why are you so upset about that? Well, they're not respecting me by calling me that name. But if you don't believe that you are that, I come to you and I call you a dog. Look at you, dog face. Now you're all wound up. You just agreed with me that you're a dog face. If I'm walking down the street and somebody calls me John, I'm not obligated to answer them. Because my name is not what? John. My name is Michael. If there's a group of Michaels around and somebody says, Michael, we all will say, yes. Because that's who we are. That's our name. What name are you accepting? Are you accepting Mr. Broke? Mr. Cancer? Mr. High Blood Pressure? Hypertension? What name are you accepting? Mr. Crazy? You accept it? Well, I'm crazy. Well, I'm a lunatic. Well, I'm schizophrenic. Well, I am. Well, if God did not create me that way as damaged goods, I have the right to say, that's not my name. I don't have to answer that name. I refuse to answer that name. I will not cooperate with that name. Therefore, I'm not going to speak anything that is contrary to what God says. Because I have a fear of God. And I agree with what God says, not what with man says. Hello? Let's go further. Keep thy tongue from speaking evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Don't speak it. If that's not your portion, don't be saying it. What do you want? Say that. Hallelujah. Did you notice that when the Lord wanted to minister to people, he never asked them to state their problem? And what makes you think that what God wants you to do when you pray is for you to state your problem? Like God does not know your problem. Now you have to tell him your problem so that he's informed. No, God wants you to speak because he created the solution and it's inside of you. He wants you to say what you want. The Lord says to the blind man, what do you want? He says, I want to see. He says, see. He's not very interested in you rehearsing your problems. He's interested in you because you have a fear of God, a reverence for God. And understand what I'm talking about, the reverence and the fear of God, I'm talking about faith. That you are agreeing with what God has declared. Praise the Lord. Therefore, you're not speaking evil out of your mouth. Let's go further. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We covered all of this morning. Let's go on. Why? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. His eyes are upon the righteous. And with his eyes he guides us. 16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And then it goes on, verse 17. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. All of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And verse 19. Watch this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. What did it say? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Huh? I'm the righteous. I should have no afflictions, period. And God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Why are they afflicted? Because the enemy wants to make God's word a lie and wants you to come into agreement with the affliction. But you are making the decision not to agree with the affliction. You are making the decision to agree with a God who says that you are more than a conqueror and that you are seated in heavenly places far above all principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. You are constantly agreeing with God and not with your circumstance. In this world, you'll have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have already overcome. Therefore, I've given you my peace. Amen? But the Lord delivered him out of them all. He says, come, let me teach you the fear of God. And this is part of all the teaching of the fear of God. Everything that we're reading now is part of the fear of God. I thought the fear of God means I will run away from God. No, God says, I want you to understand that you've got promises. I've made a commitment to you. And when you have the fear of God, you will align with me and not with your circumstance and not with the enemy who's trying to disrupt your life, who's trying to confuse you, who's trying to malign you, who's trying to just intimidate you. You do not have that spirit. The spirit, God has not given you the spirit of the fear of man or the fear of your circumstance, but the spirit of love, power, in a sound, mature, disciplined mind. You focus. When I have the fear of God, I watch my tongue and I believe God. Amen? So it tells us, don't be speaking evil. If you desire good things in your life, don't do that. And he's saying to us, I'm not saying that you won't have problems. What I'm saying is that I'm going to deliver you out of them all. Out of them. Out of them. He didn't say, I'm going to deliver you from them. He says, out of them. That means you are in the heat of the problem. And while you are in the midst of it, just like they were in the fiery furnace, just like they were in the lion's den, just like they were in Egypt, he takes you out. That means the problem will still be there, but you are out of it. So when God is saying, out of them, don't be saying, I'm in trouble. Brother, I'm in trouble. The Lord said he delivered him out of them all. Why don't you say, praise the Lord, I am out of trouble. Why are you saying, I'm in trouble? The fear of the Lord is you believing that you are out of it, not in it. Amen? It's not that you are not in it. It's that in spite of the fact that you are in it, that whatever it is that you are in has no place inside of you. Daniel was in the lion's den and the lions had locked jaw. They became vegetarians until... glory. They're in the fiery furnace heated up, but there's a fourth man in there with them. I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what I've always believed. As an individual and as a pastor, and as a minister of the gospel. Does that mean I've not had issues that make me shake and quake and give up? Oh, more than my share, I'm sure. But I didn't come crying to you. Have I ever come in here and told you, oh, we're going to die now? Is it because we didn't have a love? If you only knew. If you only knew. You say, oh my, how are we making it? Well, the reason we're making it is because of God and God working through his people. Here and everywhere else. Man, I've never been in a situation that God did not come through. He's always been faithful. He delivered him out of them all. Out of them all, you and I are delivered. That means nothing is ever going to overwhelm me and ruin my life when I've not come into agreement with it. I've seen people come and go. And the incredible thing is God always delivers from them all. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that anymore. And God replaces you before you say, I'm not going to. As soon as you think it, he's replacing. So why do I need to worry? If God does not replace, I don't need it. Not yet. It means there's something he wants me to know. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, what are you saying to us? I'm saying the fear of God is about you being renewed in the spirit of your mind. When you have the fear of God, you change your thinking. The God who makes a heap out of water, who makes that which is impossible, possible. Because of that, you don't have a fear of your circumstance. What are we going to do? What is going to happen now? There's none of that. You have the fear of God. And the fear of God says, God is greater than any problem I will ever face. Because he already promised you, remember this, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you're able to bear. But with every trial, with every temptation, provides a way of escape. Amen? And one of these days, we're going to share about that way of escape. Because the Word of God tells us what the way of escape is. Praise the Lord. And interestingly enough, it's connected to the fear of God. Hallelujah. Let's go on. 20. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. This is a prophetic, messianic, prophetic word. But what it's addressing is this. See, your bones determine your frame. If you didn't have bones, a skeletal structure, you'd be a blob. Yeah? So you are not a blob, that must mean that you have bones. And your bones, if you're not wearing high heels, determine your height. You know, I saw Sister Nicole the other day. I said, are you getting taller? And she goes like this. I said, oh, okay, I see it. It's the high heels. Well, when your bones are not broken, your structure is intact. And what God is saying is this. When you have the fear of God, your structure will be intact. Nothing. You are going to be in control of your destiny. Praise the Lord. The soldiers came trying to break the bones of those that were hanging on the cross. And when they came to Jesus, they found out that he was already dead. They didn't need to break his bones. He had control over that. He said, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. I finished my work. I'm out of here. You don't have a control over me living or dying. I made that decision. No one can come and take anything from me. I am going to have to decide to lay my life down because the enemy has nothing in me. The prince of this world is coming, but it has nothing inside of me. There's no Velcro attachment. I hope I didn't lose you there. You know, when you have Velcro, it sticks together. There's nothing for the enemy to stick to. Amen? How does the enemy have something to stick to? What's coming out of your mouth?
was coming out of your mouth. What's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of your mouth? What exactly are you saying about yourself? You're going about every day talking about how sinful and how miserable you are, or what a wretched person you are. Or are you declaring the righteousness of God that God has given to you? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what the Word of God says. I am the righteousness of God. I am the manifestation of the righteousness of God. And the devil says, liar, liar. Who do you think you are talking? You're the righteousness of God. I just saw you right there. You just said this. And that's not the righteousness of God. And you say, thank you very much for reminding me about that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I am forgiven and I'm redeemed, I'm sanctified. I thank you that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That thing is wrong. I agree with you, God, not with the devil, but I agree with you that that is wrong. And devil, you did a good job today telling me and reminding me about that, but I receive no condemnation because I am walking after the Spirit, after the Word of God, not after your condemnation. You're going there, oh, I'm such a, oh, I'm such a terrible person. Good, good, good. What are you agreeing with? You agree that you're a sinner? Okay. But do you agree that you're the righteousness of God? You agree that you're a sinner, but do you agree that when you repent, God forgives? You agree that you're a sinner, but do you agree with the fact that if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you all of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness? What are you agreeing with? The problem is we agree so much with the negative, we don't agree with what God says. And when you don't agree with what God says, you don't have the fear of God. You don't. Because when you agree with the fear of God, you are agreeing. You know, it's strange talking about the fear of God and talking about it in terms of faith. Because that's not the first thing that comes into our mind when we're talking about the fear of God. But it's totally connected. When you have the fear of God, then you believe the Word of God that says, bless and curse not. You agree with that? Don't speak a curse into your life. Did you know that the devil is not everywhere present? That he's not omnipresent? And that he's not omniscient? That he doesn't know everything? The devil only knows what you tell him most of the time. Because the devil doesn't have the capacity of reading you in your spirit. He only reads you based on what you speak out of your mouth and how you act. So have a great poker face. Huh? Unreadable. Devil looks at you, can read what you are thinking. He does not have a right to what's inside of you. In fact, what the Word of God says you have is the mind of Christ. And guess what? If the devil tries to penetrate that mind, all he hears is this: you are defeated. You've lost. and that drives him crazy. When did you last drive the devil crazy? Because he didn't get his way with you. Drive him totally bonkers. Because he's messed up and confused and he doesn't know what to do with you. What am I going to do? Nothing. You can't do anything with me. I'm already dead and Christ is the one that lives in me. And so when you confront me, you're confronting him who defeated you. And guess what? He has the keys to show it, to prove it. When the devil comes around, God does the key thing with him. He just goes like this. And the devil knows what that means. I got the keys, you don't. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 21. I'm still in the introduction. Oh, my Lord. The word of God says, evil shall slay the wicked. Evil shall slay the wicked. And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. What is the point? The point is this. God saying, I don't need you worrying about the evil guy and what they're trying to do. He says, listen, their evil is going to destroy them. And they're going to be desolate for hating you. They will become desolate. He says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will repay. He says, so give me the problem. Don't take it on. Just turn it over to me. Let me deal with it. 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. He redeems the soul of his servants. And none of them that trust in him shall be what? Desolate. Who is going to be desolate? The wicked. But you are the righteousness of God and you will never be desolate. Because your trust is in the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me move the ball just a little bit. There's much more to share with you. But let's just move the ball a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and 12. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. This is what God says. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? What does God require from you, Israel? My people, what does God require of you? And what is the first thing you see there? But to what? Fear the Lord thy God. First requirement. Not second. First requirement is to fear the Lord thy God and what? Walk in his ways and to love him. What? Fear? Walk in his ways? And then love him? I think that's backwards. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Fear the Lord first? Yes. Because you acknowledging who he is, his greatness, and you following in his ways brings you to the place where you love him. None of us got saved because we loved him. We end up loving him. Let me say that again. You end up loving God. That's not the first thing that happened to you. The first thing that happened to you is that you got stricken by the awe of, oh, there's something bigger than me. He is God. Second thing that happens to us, if we follow through, is that we start obeying His instructions. And as we obey the instructions of God, we end up loving God.